So you're going to go into some deep theology on that question, but I'll say this. What he's simply saying is, if you're doing these things, and you're walking in these things, and you're growing in these things, you're going to know for sure you're God's. You're going to know that. And Elijah, did God choose you, or did you choose him? Did God preordain that you're going to be a Christian, or did you choose it? Theologically, I don't care. The bottom line is, you're in God's presence, you're in God's family, and you're going to confirm that, yes, I am a Christian. There are a lot of people who are not making every effort to add these things to their faith. They're not going to receive a rich, warm welcome in the kingdom of heaven. They're not going to know who they are. They won't know if they're elected or confirmed in their gifts. Nothing. Why? Because they're not doing anything on their side of it. So it's a partnership with God always, that he is at work in us. Whether he called us before the beginning of time or whether we responded to his call, you know, is it man's free will or God's pre-election? That doesn't really matter, because we're all going to end up the same thing, so who cares? The bottom line is, you're here now, you're saved, you're in God's power, you're in God's presence. Now, you're going to either die on the vine, you've grown and grown and grown, and then you stagnate, or you're going to keep growing. And that keep growing is the, I will always remind you, always take hold of these things. So you're continuing to grow, you're seeing fruit, you're being productive and fruitful in your walk with God. And when you're productive and fruitful, you go, I know I'm saved. I know who I am. Why? I can see the fruit. It's all over. It's the fingerprints of God in my life. If you're not willing to be challenged, willing to grow, willing to step into some uncomfortable situations, you're never going to see the fruit. You're always going to be a baby. You're going to be a milk drinker, and you're never going to move to meat. And if we always protect and go, oh, don't talk to those people that way, they might be offended. Guess what? You've just forced them to be milk drinkers the rest of your life. What you ought to be saying is, this guy will challenge you. We're not playing patty cake here. We want you to move forward, but it's up to you. If you don't want to go there, that's okay, but you're going to be challenged. So we had an interesting experience on Sunday when we had a bunch of people here who are believers, but I challenged them because I thought they were thirsty believers and wanted to move in their faith. But I was insensitive to the reality. They're new in here. I don't have the right to push that way. And so I offended a lot of people by just being Mike and by going, which was too far in some people's mind. But all of us ought to be challengeable. I ought to be able to say to you at any time, where are you in your walk with God? Are you still struggling with sin? If you're struggling with sin, you don't know your identity, because it says that you're no longer a sinner, you're a saint. And I want to help you to be free of that. But if you tell me I'm struggling with sin day in and day out, my heart gets overwhelmed with concern for you. I want to set you free from that. You're a Christian who is struggling with sin every day? That's not a Christian. That's somebody who's in bondage because they're in religion. You're not a Christian, you're religious. You think that you're a Christian because you said a prayer somewhere, but you're seeing no fruit in your life. You're not set free. I'm not going to protect you from somebody challenging you. I want you to be challenged in that. But here's the rub. How is somebody to be challenged in that? Not necessarily from the pulpit, from some guy in public. That's where I've always made the mistake. I feel like it's my job to press that, even if it makes you uncomfortable, even if it makes you, you know. Yeah, but who's going to do it? If I don't do it, who's going to do it? I feel you'll just go to every other church, get pablum the rest of your life, and nobody's ever going to press you on that. So I see things differently, and I think we need to press, because nobody else is going to do it. But God has been revealing to me that that's not your job. Give them opportunities to be pressed at Life Group or at Grace Institute. But I can't do that here publicly. See, I did that to Tyler's whole family, and it really affected everybody in a negative way, not a positive way. Some of those people will never come back to this church ever again because I'm a jerk. But I don't think I was being a jerk. I was doing what God's commanded me to do, but I wasn't sensitive to the venue. I wasn't sensitive to what was going on at the time, not realizing I've got two other places I get to do that plus coffee shop. So I'm really looking for a coffee house environment where you can have one-on-ones with people with the word in front of you. And I'm really looking forward to life groups where you can press hard. And I'm really looking forward to Grace Institute where those who want it can dig. Right? So those are all good. That's where the confirming that you're talking about in that passage in verse 10, that's so important that when people start seeing They take hold of those gifts. They see them manifest in their life. They're opening the packages. They're going, I know I'm saved. I hear the voice of God. I see him working in my life. There are those who have asked God into their life. They've become Christians. They don't see God in their life. It's not tangible. It's not real. It's theological. And it's never practical. So we as pastors, as elders, it's our passion that you guys be set free. It's our passion that you're getting what we're getting. I feel so spoiled because I'm getting the download every day. Sometimes moment by moment, I sense God in my life. I feel his presence and I feel him speaking to me, not in audible words, but in very clear, he speaks to me in images and motivation. And I'm like, this is real. This isn't me. This isn't Mike making up this stuff. This is Jesus. And when I read the word, I get so excited. Every page, everywhere, I don't care if it's Leviticus or Numbers, I'm in there going, there's Jesus. The word means so much to me. Other people read, Dave and I are reading books like crazy. We probably read 20 this year, at least. And we're constantly reading, going, did you see this? Did you know that? You know, I give those same books to other people. They're like, it was okay. Yeah, because you're thirsty, because you know your calling and election is sure, you know who you are in Christ, and that stuff turns you on. Give the same book to somebody else, they'll read that book and not get anything out of it. And you go, how is that possible? That book was Jesus downloading directly. I was like, oh. So we've got some favorite authors we want all of you to be introduced to, and so we're all on the same page. And I know there's a ton of other authors out there too, but we can't read everything. But we can read this core, and that's going to be the Grace Institute core. We're going to use some books. We're going to use some teachers. You do. You have a real problem. And I overstep that line all the time. So I'm told. I don't think I do. But I am told that. So here's the question. Do you push and maybe drive people away? Or do you not push and kind of keep them nearby so that maybe they'll go to life group and maybe they'll go to... If I have people for one shot, they're here one Easter, for me, C&E, CEO Christians are called, you know, Christian and Easter only, Christmas and Easter only Christians are a real challenge for me. It's the most dynamic evangelistic time of the year, both those days, particularly Easter, usually Easter even more so, because we're talking about the resurrection, and the resurrection is the centerpiece of all of Christianity. If you're preaching the resurrection right, you got to be challenging people in what is truth, because the resurrection is the prove it. Jesus said he could do it. Here's the proof. What are you doing with it? It's about proof. It's not about going, well, that's a nice story. It's about proof. We're saying we're getting you out of death and into life, and that's challenging. It's uncomfortable, and it may make you go away and never come back. Do you preach that level? Well, yes and no. Yes and no. Like with your family, I'll never see most of those people again because they don't live around here. I figured they're never going to get a guy like me. Most pastors don't teach the way I teach. Most people don't challenge the way I challenge. Most people won't go as far. And I certainly know that almost every pastor that I've talked to does not teach grace, your identity in Christ. They don't teach it. Why? I don't know. The church quit teaching it. So I want you to know who you are. Well, what if I make you uncomfortable? What if you never come back here again? You weren't coming back here in the first place. But I have a chance that maybe I change your thinking. I have a chance that maybe the Holy Spirit got in there. So we've been talking a lot about what's the balance there. There's a balance, and you're right. It's a delicate balance, maybe one that can never be struck. Maybe we're always a tiny bit offensive. But it says that God's word, the gospel, is offensive. It says that to those who are not saved, it's a massively offensive thing. To those who are moderately saved, it's massively offensive. To the saved, it's a joy. You're going, yeah, this is the best thing. Like, huh, same message, same audience, but two different people. Yeah, that's not how it's used theologically. That is the definition of the word election. Like, you go to an election, you have an election, all that. But, well, it does. That's right, it does. Yeah. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. In a theological context, when you use the word election, it's not talking about what that word means. It means God did the electing. God elected you and nobody else. In election, God elects the saints, and God elects the sinners. You're talking about your choice. The theological term election is talking about God's choice. So, oh, make your election sure. Yeah, so here's what that's meaning. Here's that meaning. In Scripture, and it talks very clearly on this in Ephesians, but there are other places in Scripture where election is talked about, where it says you were elect by God before the foundation of time to be a Christian. God elected you. Why didn't he elect that guy? Don't know. Huh? Yeah, because it's Bob. You know, no. Why didn't he? How about this girl? He elected her. He didn't elect him. Why? So people want to know why, what steers God's hand in election. Coming from the perspective of God, he elects, he doesn't elect. He elects, he doesn't elect. That word election in a theological sense always is talking about God's choice, not your choice. In a practical sense, in a dictionary, they're going to be talking about you get to go to an election, or you elect to go shopping, or you, it talks about your freedom and your choice. In a theological sense, it's always about God's choice, and that stands against man's free will. Do I have free will to make my choice? Well, in the doctrine of election, no, you don't. In the doctrine of free will, you have a choice, and God then becomes powerless. God says, I want you in the kingdom, but I can't make you be in the kingdom. It's your choice. Here's the evidence. You make the choice. So they see God as being powerless and man being sitting in the power seat in the election. God is powerful and man is powerless. It's a blend of both. And that's what's wrong with that theological discussion. It doesn't take into, we're talking years of theology here. So, to talk about what Peter's talking about there, Peter's saying your election, he's talking about from God's view, is made sure. Did God elect me? Am I one of the saved? Yeah, you can see it in the fruit of your life. God has called you. What's that? That nobody can come to the Father unless he calls them, and that would be an election. You know, and few, it says many are called, few are chosen. That's really interesting. And then there's other ones. This is so broad, so vast. It's really a big topic. Would be fun to go to. That's an institute class right there. That's so fun. Where I stand on that is, it doesn't matter. What matters is where I'm at with God at any given time. I don't care how I got there. That's a tough position. That's got to be Holy Spirit. But here's the worst of the worst. I don't mind that. What I mind is Christians who are self-righteous, who claim to know these truths and tell me how I'm supposed to present them. That's not your job. That's his job. And if you don't like how I present, there's the door. And you're free to come or go. But you're not free to, and here's the bad part. Having a difference of opinion is great. You can have all that. And wanting me to do it a different way, that's fine too. But hiding in the back room and talking to people going, you see how he's doing that? You know, we need to get rid of him. No, that's division. That's the enemy. That's sin. You can have a difference of opinion. You can like me or not like me. And you can not like me and stay here. That's fine. But you can't not like me and undermine the work that we're doing. That's demonic. And you can't ever do that. That not in a church. That's God's structure, God's rules. So we abide by that. We go to the Word and go, what can we do? What can't we do? He says that division in the church is demonic. It's doctrine of demons. So you got to beware. It's not just people. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities and the dark forces in this world. That's what's going on. And you have to carefully discern what's going on here. Are you up against demonic powers, or up against a Karen type of personality, or are you up against, there's a mix. And that's where the discernment comes in. And it's not easy. And yeah, you're going to blow that all the time. Well, they're dropping like flies. Oh, thank you. And I will pray for you a lot. But that's exactly right. You should pray for me a lot. And the leadership, always praying for that leadership. Scripture tells us that hold those people in double honor. That's meaning we know they're under oppression. We know it's a tough thing. There's a lot of people that were here and that aren't here. Almost every single one of them has not come and talked to us about anything. They just vanished. And because of little backroom meetings to do that. So that drags down some really good meaning people. They get dragged into that crowd, and that's sad. Oh, I don't mind slithering off. It's the backroom deals where they're dragging people with them. That's not fair. Yeah, I think that, and that's fair. That's what they should be. They should be praying before the Lord and going, where should I be? Where, lead me, guide me. Is this guy teaching truth? What sadly is they often go to places they're not teaching truth at all, but they're more comfortable there. So that's their choice. What were you going to say? Really? Good. Oh, I'm glad you saw that. And that is where we want to be. That's where we want to be. We want to be in that 2 Timothy mode. Yeah, thank you for willing to be uncomfortable. But isn't that good? Now, I look around, I go, powerful, 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 wonderful, wonderful. It's incredible. This is core. We are the core of wherever we're going. We've gotten down to bedrock. If you know, you're a builder, you know what I'm talking about. You don't want to be building on weak and shifting sand. You want to be building on the rock, bedrock. Not to say there weren't some bedrock people that were here. What's changed is we're at the place where there's no fight anymore. We don't have to apologize for what we're teaching. We're just going to teach it without comparing, without contrasting. We're going to teach the word and build on that. And you guys have come because you love that. You guys are going, this is what I've been looking for. I want this. Okay, that's where we are. Now God's going to have to grow this. Why do we want it to grow? Well, it would help to pay the bills. That's really important. We're down to not taking paychecks, and we understand that. That's okay. God's going to provide. He always does. That's not why we want to grow, although that is important. We want to grow because there's a lot of lost people out there. We want to grow because we want to be effective in the mission that God's called us to. We want to grow because there's a lot of Christians that don't know their identity. That's my greatest heart, is Christians that don't know their identity, because they're either caught in religion and not saved, or they're saved and they have no authority and power. That, and then people look at that and they go, so my son was here a minute ago. He's not here. He is telling me, I don't see power in the church. I see people that claim they're Christians, that claim that they don't see power, they don't see authority, and he goes to church all the time. He's very faithful, but he doesn't see any transformative action on the part of God or the Holy Spirit. In terms of seeing fruit, I don't see it. Why? Because he's going to your standard Christian church that doesn't teach grace. They're just teaching religion. And, you know, somebody said last week about Baptist church. This used to be a Baptist church. But standard doctrine of a standard evangelical church will not teach your identity in Christ, will not set you free. They'll get you right up, and that's it. And not only can you lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, they're not leading them to water. They're leading them to bondage. There's a bondage that comes with that kind of teaching, with that kind of culture. And, man, we don't want to see you people, any of us, in bondage. We want to see you know your freedom. And if you choose to walk it out, great, but it isn't because we kept it from you. We're going to teach it the best way we can. And like you just said, maybe we're finding a new approach. Maybe we're getting a little bit more loving. And that really is it. You know, it isn't. I think it's unloving to not teach people who they are. I think it's unloving to lead them only so far and not go. That's not love. That's self-love. And that's trying to protect me and not offend people. I don't care about offending people. I care about preaching the word and pulling people in. And so that's been my thing, is it's not, I don't care about offense. I care about the truth. Most people care more about not offending than giving the truth, so nobody gets the truth. So that's, there's got to be a balance, right? It's got to be a 1 Timothy balance. And like you said, where do you find that? Only through the Holy Spirit. Only through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's going to work through wisdom, through people like you, and through people like you, talking to us and hammering this out. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to try things and go, but hopefully we're learning and we're listening. You know, I wish it were so that you see something and you go, oh, that's the Holy Spirit. And you act on it. You go, we can't make a mistake. We see dimly as through a glass. We're trying the best we can. And who knows what's going on there. But I think we're at a really good place right now. I think we really know who we are. We really know what we're trying to get at. We see how it can work. And now it's just a matter of doing it. And see, your input's been very, very important to us, because you're not easily swayed on anything. And you're slow to move, slow to action, slow to think it through. Well, that's kind of what we need. You know, that kind of skepticism, but openness. You've got both. You've got an interesting mix. That's probably called wisdom. You know, it's a wonderful thing. So I appreciate your balance. Yeah, I appreciate that very much. So with that, that's kind of all I had to say about that. Now, next week, I got next week done because this is what we were supposed to do. I had it all done. I stayed up last night till 12:30, and I had this sermon all mapped out. I knew exactly where I was going. And then went to bed and woke up. I don't know if I woke you up, but I woke up at 3, and I'm like, what? What are you saying? And then the Second Peter started popping in my head, and the first pass ticket, and all that stuff started popping in my head. I'm like, dude, I don't know if I can go here yet. I think I got to do this sermon. So this morning I scratched down some of this stuff, and then I went through Second Peter and went, yeah, that's what I'm supposed to preach. I stayed up all yesterday on this other thing, but this is next week for sure. But isn't it interesting how you guys just got to wait? You got to wait. I think I know what I'm doing, and I think God goes, not yet. Now, here's what next week is, and I'm excited about this. Next week is we have a brand new identity and a new destiny. See, that's interesting. We have a new identity and a new destiny. And I'm going to take you through, listen to this, many fear that too much grace will lead to too much sinning. But the opposite is true. God's grace is what inspires us to say no to sin and to live upright and godly lives. You know, Titus 2. And so then I'm going to go into Titus 2 and Romans 6. And then when people claim that we have too much grace, they see God's grace as nothing more than mercy and forgiveness. They don't understand what grace is. But that's the kind of teaching I want to do. We'll go through every one of these verses. I think you'll enjoy it because it's going to be less random pieces and more just work it through, go. And all the deeper stuff will happen at Life Group and at the Institute. You get that? So we'll go through this. We need to know what's on this paper. It's very, very awesome. I already kind of preached half of it, but we'll go through it in detail. We know that grace has got to be the centerpiece of everything we do here. Grace, understanding the concept of the doctrine of grace. We have all we need for life and godliness through Christ Jesus. What does that mean? We started with 2 Peter. Does that make sense? Wow, this is a great, this was a great study. I mean, a great input, great hearts. We're going somewhere. We're hanging on, Lord. Where are you taking? I mean hanging on like he's moving. And grab his shirt tails, hold on, because it's wonderful. And you're going to be stretched. You're going to be stressed. You get stressed when you're trying to get something done. It's not your job, right? Dave was starting to get stressed. He called him on it. I hope you guys don't mind me saying that. It's okay. We have a vision. We've had it for a year. We've been working it through and asking God what to do and how to implement it, how to do this, and where do we back off? God's given us a very clear word and a vision. Something in Dave, do you want me to say being open? Something in Dave was getting pissed. Why aren't people responding? Why? It's supposed to work. This is what God tells us to teach. This is what God's people are supposed to look like, smell like, act like, and it's not happening. What the heck is going on? You just need to shake them a little bit. And you guys weren't here for Easter. I don't know if you remember, but during the songs, Dave was doing a little shaking. You remember that? You do. Nobody's mentioned it, so I don't want to make light of it. But and you could tell, we could tell, because we know Dave very well. That's not his character. That's not who he is. But he was like, why aren't you people standing up and praising Jesus? What the heck's wrong with you? Don't you love Jesus? We're singing these powerful songs, and he's going, did you not hear the words of those songs? No, I'm never standing up. Who are you? Dave was just expressing, which he never does, he was expressing his frustration with this whole process. If you say you're a Christian, if you say you love Jesus, wouldn't you be thirsty for more of that? Wouldn't you be passionate to grow? Wouldn't you want to go a little further? What is wrong? He wasn't yelling at the people. That's how it came across. He was yelling at God, help me. Why is this so confusing? We want it so bad. We want so much for this. We see it. We taste it. We feel it. How do you get it across? And through that frustration and through what happened on Easter, God's downloaded to us some much clearer vision, right? Don't you think it's clearer what we're doing now? It makes sense. we couldn't figure out why it wasn't. Where was the missing piece? Well, we finally got life groups up and going, we're still frustrated, and that was the missing piece, was Institute. Once you add that to the mix, then people like you get what you need, and people like us get to give what we need to give, and we set Sunday free to be a different thing. Sunday, we realize, is a fishing pond. We don't know who's coming here. We're going to give nice, tidy little tidbits and encourage people. It's kind of previews of future attractions. You'll get your future attractions at your life group, and you can get even more at an Institute class. But here, you guys who know the Lord, we're going to love these people to come through the door. And we're going to try to make it a little easier for them. And we're going to try to make it more fun. And we're going to create a coffee house where you can come and talk it out. Hey, meet me Monday. We're going to be right here. You just come and meet us. It'll be really simple. So we're playing with all this stuff, going, it's starting to fit. It's starting to make sense. Dave, for a second, one brief moment in time, his frustration came out. And it kind of surprised all of us. We're like, that's not the Dave I know. You felt it. I felt it. I was kind of like trying to shake people on Easter, and they felt that too. So both of us hit the same critical place at the same exact time, and that was a breakthrough with where suddenly everything made sense. That's where we are. Yeah, that's funny. That's what it was. And God's going, that's not my heart. He said it through him, and only Tyler could say it the way Tyler says it. But he said it in a way, and I don't exactly know what happened, but I know that he was fundamentally transformed. Well, that's a really good illustration, because I know exactly what you're talking about. And when you are an inspector, that's really what you are. I mean, an inspector and a consultant, you come in a situation like that, they're like, oh, crap, here comes Bob. But they need to hear it, because they need to be in compliance. And oh, I just watched a video yesterday. It's just exactly the same thing. This guy comes in, he's a whole house inspector. What do they call it? A whole house inspector? A home inspector? Yeah. And trusses weren't nailed in. The nail missed many of them. Oops, there were so many, like they're supposed to have 10 inches of blown insulation. There's four. And all these things where they, but they were signed off on the trusses, signed off on the insulation, signed off on the wiring. And the wiring was like two posts not connected. And in the major box, all of them loose. Every one of them, he just pulled them out. None of them were fastened down. All this. Past inspection. So these guys were going to buy this house. And they hired this whole home inspector guy, and he came up with this whole list of stuff, which created a lawsuit against the builder, which resulted in a lawsuit against the inspectors because they shouldn't have signed it off. The builder did a crappy job. The inspectors signed it off, which meant this whole house could have burnt down like that, or the roof caved in, or the house literally wasn't sitting on the lot square, too. That's funny. But I looked at that and go, how is that possible? Because nobody wanted to offend somebody. Nobody wanted to be uncomfortable. That's the job. Yeah. That's what we're doing. You're right. We're checking out the foundation. We're checking out the trusses. We're checking out, where are you? You say you're a Christian, but the trusses are rotten, man, or the foundation's rotten. And you've got to be willing to do that. But again, they're paying you. Yeah, right. Well, what's funny about your job, if you just showed up at some other company and you just start inspecting them, they think you're nuts and they'd kick you out. That's like me inspecting somebody that's not ready to be inspected. We've got to have the right to do that. Anyway, we're working out the balance there. It's always going to be very, very difficult. But again, I like the fact one of you said that both of us are committed to one thing for sure. We love the Lord, and we want others to be able to get encouraged in their walk. There is no question that we're not doing this for money or for fame or for any of that. We're doing it because we believe what we're doing is what God's called us to do. And we want the body to be healthy and strong. Yeah, yeah. But so that's cool to hear that, yeah, you're right. That's exactly why we're doing it. Do it with us. Do it with us. It's going to require a team. And you know, and again, I'll go back to you. The fact that you come every other week and you lead worship, is a real blessing to the body, you know, and it's not easy for you. I get that. And it's a sacrifice. It's an offering of sacrifice. When we'll show you a diagram of where the church is and how it's structured, once people enter this phase where they're done with milk and they're ready to go meat style, well, the first thing they have to recognize is God's calling them to give of their time, treasures, and talents. That's fundamental to a Christian, who they are. It's time, treasure, and talents, whatever the balance is. You got more time than treasure, or you got whatever. And when we talk about time, treasure, and talents, that's you leading worship there and giving sacrificially. And that's what we're all called, not to take, but to give. And if we all do it, and we do it joyfully with a grateful heart, you're going to see a very healthy body. But God's right now at this time sending one of you inspectors, check out the foundation. Let's get this right, because we don't want to have to later see the thing collapse or later have to rebuild. We're going to build right. God's brought us to the foundation. And he's given us a lovely building, which sometimes could be an albatross. And he's given us a lovely grounds, which we can really use for the kingdom. This can be an albatross because we're landlocked and can't use it for what we want to use it for. But in the midst of that, he says, what's in your hand? Let me use it. Okay, so that's where we are. We were ready to see this place burn down. I mean, it really is an albatross. You know what I mean by that. It's more expense and more burden than it is help to the kingdom. But we realize if we use it for a lot of our other purposes, if we can get away with it, don't spread the word. If we do a coffee shop here, it's completely by donation. And if somebody serves and washes tables or whatever, it's completely by donation. This is all volunteer. It's all, otherwise the city gets involved and permits have to be pulled and things, and they won't allow it. So isn't it exciting though? Everything. Yep, everything. You guys are all on the same page. I'm excited. Today was one of my favorite sermons, services since I've been here. This is it. This is what we've been praying for. Yeah, see? That's an exciting thing. He's been pushing for that for 9 months, at least. We didn't know what it would look like or how it would take place. We kept seeing it as, anyway, we see it now more clearly. I'm excited, but let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful day, for this wonderful vision, this wonderful family. And I can only say this is a work of God. Everybody's contributed to where we are right now. We all together can say, God's doing this through us, together. It's a team. And I thank you for it. Continue to lead us and guide us and bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. Enough said. Yeah, that was fun.